I saw something the other day at the kids' school. They sent a flyer out. It said, we are encouraging the kids to wear, what was the term? It was an interesting term, affirming positive attitude costumes. And, you know, because they don't want, I guess, to see any more Darth Mauls. So let's bring Margaret on from Santa Monica this evening here on The Phil Henry Show.
The Margaret Journals.
1-800-449-8686. Margaret, good evening to you, and how are you?
I'm doing well, Phil, although we had a little bit of a problem here at our house, and I'm still recovering from that. I don't know how many arguments. Do you get into very many arguments with Maria?
Oh, boy. I don't know, maybe one a month, you know, when we really have a, we don't ever have a, well, yeah, knockdown, drag out. We try not to because it's debilitating, isn't it?
It really takes an awful lot out of you. Frank and I had a terrible, terrible argument last night. And this was about the Halloween costume that Jason Jay was going to wear to a Halloween party today. And we had agreed on the very thing that you're talking about, something that is positive and something that is life-affirming, I felt would be a very, very good thing for him to wear. I don't want to see my boy dressed in anything that I think, for instance, provokes, is derivative of a violent character.
I know. The kids are going to wear that stuff, though. What are you going to do? They're going to wear their ninja costumes.
Well, I know that they identify with a lot of the films, the Wild Wild West, and this sort of thing, but I walked in. I had been to 5 different stores getting this costume together for Jason Jay. I walked in. My husband has taken it upon himself to go out and to procure things for Jason Jay's costume. I walk into the house, and he's got out black some grease paint. And he has a straw hat, and he's got an old raggy coat, and he is dressing him up as a hobo. I said to him that...
This was Frank with your son.
Frank, and he had a little red handkerchief on a stick and all of that. And, you know, with the knapsack and everything. I said to him, Frank, you're not going to dress that child as a hobo or a tramp. And he told me it was easier that way. It was a lot more cost effective. I said, I understand. You will not dress that child as a hobo for Halloween. It's not going to happen to my son.
Well, can I offer an opinion?
Yes.
Well, hobo, I wouldn't call that a violent thing.
It's not a violent thing. It's not something for my son, Jason Jay. I don't want him going off to that school dressed in that costume. It's not him. It's...
Yeah, but thousands, millions of kids every year, for crying out loud, go as hobos. As a matter of fact, the very first, the very first Halloween costume that I ever had, I think, was...
Phil, that's good for other families. I don't know that this is really the point.
Well, I think it is the point. I mean, millions of other kids wear it. I mean, the very first costume that I ever had was a hobo costume. I had a plastic mask. And
Frank has got a bottle in a bag and a brown paper bag and a cigar, but I said this is not good for Jason. I do not want him in this costume.
Yeah, but like I said, you're gonna have millions of kids out there and it's cost effective.
I think one of the things you need to understand though, that's good for other families. That is fine for other families. That is not good for me, and it's not good for my son, and it is not good. It's certainly not something that I think is a life-affirming, a positive costume.
Well, okay, so all the other kids that are wearing hobo costumes, and
it may be fine for other people's children. I'm not here to pass judgment on someone else's children. I don't know other people's children. For my son, it's not the right thing. And I told Frank that. He knew that I didn't want that. And let me ask you a question, Phil, so that we're very clear on what's going on here. Because I had been to 4 different stores, and I had been procuring a lot of different items for the costume that I thought would be interesting. And we had a terrible fight. And
you and Frank had a fight over what? Sounds like you had a fight over the hobo costume.
We just didn't have a good night, but we had a terrible, terrible fight. And
so the hobo costume, I guess, is out, huh?
It's not right for my son, no.
It may be right for other people's kids.
It may very well be something that other people want to put their children in, Phil. I don't know. My son is not going to go out on Halloween dressed as a hobo.
All right, I got it.
Now, let me ask you this. What is wrong? What is really wrong if shown in a positive light? What is wrong with dressing a child up for Halloween, if he wants to, and Jason Jay told me that he does, dressing your child up as Jesus Christ or as Jesus the Son of God?
And you and Frank obviously had a fight about that.
Yes.
Whose idea was that?
That was mine. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, boy, Margaret.
Let me tell you why, Phil. It is historical. It is much more positive. You know, I think the costume is very tasteful because it shows Christ when all were against him, but he was still there for the world.
And you're dressing your kid up as Jesus Christ?
Yes.
I don't know, Margaret. I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to be offended.
The only reason why, Phil, is because Jason Jay is a very special boy. He's had a very, very difficult year. He has gone to some summer tutoring because he had a very bad year in school last year. He was turned down for that part in the John Hughes movie. As you know, he does some acting.
Yes, I know.
He is getting braces next month. You know a lot of things that will culminate and really make it difficult for a child? And a lot of things have culminated and made it very difficult for Jason Jay. He's entering the fifth grade. We really wanted something special for him.
And so your idea, what did you guys have an argument over, the hobo costume or the, you want to dress him as Jesus Christ?
I thought from a historical perspective that would be a wonderful costume. I told Frank that there was no way he was going to dress that boy as a hobo. But I said to him, and I had gone to a nursery and I had gone to a makeup store. We've got a lot of different things.
How are you going to dress him? You're going to dress him up as Jesus Christ. First of all, you've got a lot of people who are Christians who are going to be offended by that.
I understand that, Phil, but the costume is tasteful. And it shows Jesus at a time in his life when he was very much up against the wall, but still persevering. It is during...
What part of his life? We talk about the crucifixion?
During that period, yes, the crucifixion. And we went out, we spent an awful lot of time in the costume. I mean, we're talking about... Jason Jay's aunt came over and helped me with it. We're talking about we have a little crown of thorns and all of those things that I think, yes, from an untrained eye would think it was offensive. But we have all of the things that I think give him a historical life.
And you're putting a crown of thorns on the kid, and what else is it? I guess he's carrying a cross, huh?
There's a little cardboard cross, yes, and there's the stigmata and different things. But it's historical. And you have to understand, I've got a very special son who's been through a very difficult year. I want him to feel as if he's making strides in his life.
Well, what are you going to say when people say to you, how dare you take my religious icon, symbol of my religion, and mock it?
I will say to them, how am I mocking it?
How are you mocking it? By, how are you mocking it?
Yes.
By dressing a child up in that costume for Halloween.
That is not mockery. That is historical recreation and the effort of a mother to make a child feel very, very special. He's had a very difficult year. He's not dressing as a hobo.
All right, I got it. He's not dressing as a hobo. I just don't know how dressing your kid as Jesus Christ for a Halloween party, or trick-or-treating for that matter, is going to be reserved. I don't have an answer for that. It's the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You know, there's a couple of things going on. Margaret Gray is our guest here on the Phil Henry Show. She is a nationally syndicated columnist.
The Margaret Journal.
And we're talking about a domestic problem in a lot of ways that you're having at home, Margaret.
No, Phil, we had an argument. Frank and I had an argument. You have to understand, we have so few positive role models in our society. When children are out on Halloween, and they're dressed as a vampire, they're dressed as a serial murderer, they're dressed as Ted Bundy. There are so many negative images that the children are drawing from news. And I said to Frank, I don't want that child dressed as a hobo or a tramp or any of those things that are negatively resonating with him. He's a 10-year-old boy who needs positive reinforcement.
And your idea, though, was to dress him in a Jesus Christ costume. Now, you said that you went, and you call it historical.
I think it's very historical, yes.
All right, you went and got a costume. There's makeup, there's stigmata.
Yes, the lashing, they lashed our Lord, and there is the very clear evidence of that on the back of the gown. There is the cross and the crown of thorns. I'm not trying to focus so much on that. I'm focusing on the fact that Jason J. Delmonico has had a difficult year. He's a 10-year-old boy.
Now, for people who don't know, that is his stage name, correct?
That is the name that he uses in television and film, yes.
And Margaret's son has done some child acting. His stage name is Jason J. Delmonico.
Yes.
All right. I am simply saying to you, and I know you don't mean to be blasphemous, I think you're going to get some people upset. That's all I'm saying. Here's Laguna Niguel. Here is Solano Beach on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey.
Hi.
Margaret.
Ouch.
Hello.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Hey, Margaret.
Yes.
Halloween is the devil's holiday to begin with. And to have your child dress up as Jesus Christ is 100% sacrilegious. He is the Lord. He is not a costume.
I'm not saying that my son is Jesus Christ.
What if he goes out and gets into a fight in that costume?
Whatever. I'm not saying my son is Jesus Christ.
But he's dressing up in a very sacrilegious... Would you dress...
Let me ask the caller so I can cut through all of this, so I can cut through all the bull crap. What's sacrilegious about it, okay?
That is the Lord.
Her son is the Lord.
He's dressing up as the Lord. It is a symbol. It is our God.
A symbol or a man?
He is a God.
All right, so is he a symbol?
He is also a symbol.
So he's all of those things?
Yes, he is. Well, he's everything.
And what about those recreations that they do on Easter Sunday?
That's totally different.
How is that different?
Because this young boy is going out dressed up as Jesus Christ to go collect Halloween candy.
And the pageants that they have on Easter is to what effect?
Meaning?
I'm asking you, what is the effect of a man dressing as Jesus Christ at Easter time?
Phil,
we are reenacting a very important...
I can't think of a more positive symbol in our society than our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to dress your child as a hobo or a vampire or a ninja or all of these ridiculous symbols that represent violence, that's your business. I don't do that. I reinforce positive in my child, and I want him to feel special, and I want him to feel as if he's connected to something positive. And what you would do is not allow that because you have your idea of what Jesus is. I think that Jason J. Delmonico has had a very difficult year.
There's a lot of children that have difficult years.
Right.
You can see them dressing up as Muhammad or Gandhi.
I'm not interested in them. I'm interested in my son.
This is outrageous.
And this is what I do for my son.
All right, thanks for your call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say to her, you know, I think she's nuts. Her kid is going to end up hating her for doing this to him.
He is very much into it. He's very, very much into it.
Yeah, well,
he's
okay.
Very excited about it.
Okay, you know,
I don't know
you
how
say
old
that,
you are.
You know,
I'm a mother
Jesus Christ
of three
is a great
sons.
Role model and all this other stuff.
Can you name a better role model?
To, like, look good because all the rest of the stuff is bad. But
can you name a better role
like a
model than Jesus
or like
Christ?
A Disney character or something simple?
A
you know,
clown
still
is something
image.
To be laughed at. A clown, if you want to talk about something to be laughed at, that's a clown. A Disney character doesn't even exist. And I certainly wouldn't put a child into some sort of fantastic costume of a character that has no bearing whatsoever on reality.
Uh-huh.
Now, I said to my husband, there are only certain costumes that are acceptable for my son. We mentioned Jesus Christ. We mentioned Superman. We mentioned
So why don't you dress him up like Superman? Why are you going to make him dress like Jesus Christ?
Superman is fine. That's a very expensive costume. I went out and I bought these things. For $5, you can go out and buy all the things you need to dress your child as Jesus Christ.
But does your kid want to be dressed as Jesus Christ?
I think she already answered that. Anything else? She said yes. Anything else?
My friend has a comment.
Your friend has a comment? Thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So you hear these people. I told you this was going to happen, okay? I told you they're going to get a lot of people out there who are very, very upset with the idea of it being sacrilegious.
And they are not my son's parents. They don't know Jason J. Delmonico. And Phil, you know him.
He's a great kid. And you know what? One of the things that I think might hurt this child is calling him Jason J. Delmonico. Can't we just call him Jason?
Because he has worked very hard at accruing an awful lot of credentials in the acting field. He has.
I know he's been in a lot of commercials. I know he's been in films and everything. He's still a 10-year-old boy, okay?
But the point is, he's been through an awful lot. And Jason J. Delmonico, he was turned down for the John Hughes film I told you about. He had 3 commercial auditions. He was tutored this summer. There are a lot of things that this child has been through. Why not make this child feel very special?
Okay, you can make the kid feel special by getting a Superman costume.
Very expensive. If you go and get a...
All right, then you can make the kid... What are the other costumes you said would be okay?
We mentioned Jesus Christ, Superman, a U.S. Army general. Michael Jordan, I thought, would be wonderful, but he did not want the Michael Jordan because we wanted to strive for some kind of accuracy. And the Michael Jordan costume, obviously, he needed to have his head shaved. He wouldn't have his head shaved. And
you were going to, what were you going to do, brown him up? And
you can use a base, a mocha base.
And shave his head.
Yes. And he absolutely screamed. He didn't want to do that. There are a lot of costumes, Phil. We thought this was easy. We thought this was one that would be inexpensive. We thought it would be perfect. And that's why we are saying to him, this is a good thing for you. And Frank and I had a terrible argument.
Well, obviously your husband is not approving. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686 with Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist. Dressing your kid up as Jesus Christ on Halloween. You knew, you had to have known that that was going to get people upset.
I'm not interested, Phil, in other... You need to understand...
No, you knew that that would get people angry and that would push buttons, didn't you? And you knew...
I am not interested in other people. I'm interested in my own son and making my son feel special after a very difficult year.
Can't you make him feel special dressing him as a U.S. Army general, you said? You could make him feel special as dressing him as King Arthur, as you said. You could make him feel special as dressing him up like Superman.
We thought of King Arthur. We wanted the King Arthur during the Camelot or the Camelot period. And
what is Camelot?
A lot of people pronounce it Camelot. It's Camelot or Camilo. It is French and it means a wonderful land.
And all right, why not dress him up as King Arthur?
Because, Phil, we wanted the boy to feel as special as he could. And walking around in the robes of Jesus, bleeding from the hands, and, exhibiting signs of torture, in our opinion, would give him that feeling.
All right, here is Phoenix on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, thank you.
Yes,
I have
ma'am.
A comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand that you would like to do something positive for your child, but knowing
thank
that
you.
This is going to create such a response from anybody, would you be prepared with as bad of a history that he's had this last year, to put him through more ridicule?
Well, I'll tell you, Jason J. Delmonico has done some acting, so he does get into character. He has done, he's one of the few children, I guess you'll meet, who's done professional acting. And Jason J. Delmonico can infuse himself with the character and recognize that, yes, it will get responses from people, but it will make him feel special. That is what I tried to say to Mr. Henry. That's the important thing.
I don't see how he's going to feel special being ridiculed by other people.
Well, I'll tell you. When you are on stage, you have an opportunity to make an impact positively and negatively. And you'd be surprised when we all went to see Phantom of the Opera. Well, how could the Phantom inspire anything positive in us? The Phantom did, didn't he, in the end?
But this is
the Phantom of the Opera.
This is not a stage.
Halloween is every bit a stage. Halloween is every bit a costume ball. It is every bit theater. And
it's
real
life for him. He's 10 years old.
He wants to do it. Jason J. Delmonico is different from... Are you a mother?
I am, actually. I have 2 daughters.
Have any of them done any film acting?
I beg your pardon?
Have any of them done any film acting?
No, they have not.
All right. Jason J. Delmonico has.
Okay, but I think we're talking about two issues. We're talking about a child on Halloween dressing up and having to deal with ridicule that he may receive.
But you understand what I'm saying.
And you know, the other thing that
when
I think...
When I tell you that Jason J. Delmonico has been an actor...
Can't we call the boy Jason?
His name is Jason. It's Jason J.
Okay.
But you understand he's been an actor.
I do understand that, but I still feel, especially if you're using, one of the things that you mentioned as a reason for this costume is the fact that the other costumes are expensive. Well, I am a single parent, and I do have two daughters.
There you go.
That are 11 and they are 13, and I don't think it comes down to money. I think if you're wanting to do the right thing for your child, that's not what it comes down to.
And that's what I'm doing, the right thing for my child. My child will feel special. He's not getting into a hobo costume.
Regardless of the ridicule, he may have to...
He will get into the Jesus Christ costume because he wants to.
If he didn't want to?
Then I wouldn't force it on him. But Jason J. feels he can pull this off. Who am I to say no?
You're his mother. That's who you are to say no.
To a young boy who wants to try something positive, I don't think so.
It sounds like it's your choice.
All right, thanks for your call. Wichita on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, well, doesn't this lady hold anything sacred? She keeps referring to Jesus Christ as the Lord. She obviously is a Christian. Why wouldn't she hold that as being sacred?
Nobody
carried around something sacred as a Halloween costume.
There's no one I've talked to so far that has convinced me that this is sacrilegious in any way, shape, or form. I've got a lot of people who are being emotional, but I don't have anyone who's telling me that it's sacrilegious.
Well, what do you mean emotional? It's not just
an emotional issue.
It's an issue of being sacred.
It is sacred.
Something that you revere and that you don't
parade
around like you would a vampire or a hobo.
I do revere, and I think it's about time that Jesus Christ made an appearance at Halloween, don't you? Don't you think it's about time that Jesus made an appearance at Halloween to offset the vampires and the devils? If you thought about it that way, if you broadened your mind, wouldn't it make sense?
No, because it's a sacred thing. You don't take
the Jesus
of God on earth
show up with
and bring him around as something like a character out of a fiction or something.
Jesus doesn't show up where the devil is.
Excuse me, the devil come visited him.
There you go. Jesus did battle with the devil, and I think if it's the devil's holiday, it's time for Jesus to make
a stand. It's not the devil's holiday, it's all
Darling, we are not
day.
Talking about just any child, we're talking about my son.
That makes it even more important. You're not teaching them that it's something sacred. That
yes, I most certainly am.
That it be put back,
Jason
not to be traded around.
Jason J. Delmonico is completely aware of the fact that it's sacred. I have spoken with him about it. He knows this. He wants this.
Well...
There, see? Aren't you... Do you understand now?
No, I don't, ma'am. I think you're being ludicrous.
Sit down and think about it. I think you'll
understand. I hold that the form of Jesus sacred. Why would you want to parade it around like?
All right, I think we're just chasing our tail here. Here's Bakersfield on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, you know, I no disrespect, but you sound kind of like a snob.
I love my son.
I know you love your son. I love my kids, too. But you keep, you know, referring to Jesus as your Lord, and you want to be Jesus' positive role model.
Exactly.
Yet you have repeatedly said how you don't care about other kids. See, that's,
I have no responsibility for other children. I have responsibility for my own child, Jason J. Delmonico, who has been in a number of feature films.
But just that comment.
Who is able to...
You know what,
do this when other children, I don't think, can.
Ah, you know now there's a guy. What about another kid dressed as Jesus?
I don't think they could pull it off.
Well, okay. I don't think any kid should have that kind of pressure, especially a 10-year-old kid.
I'm not putting them under any pressure.
I have to jump in on behalf of the guest and say, as she said many times, her son wants to do this. She's not forcing the kid into doing it.
He's a 10-year-old child. I don't think he really understands what it would mean to represent Jesus Christ and actually portray him
What's so tough about it?
What's so tough about
it? You walk around, you're bleeding, or whatever it was that he did. You've got a cross.
Do you understand what Jesus Christ means to the Christian community?
Absolutely.
What do you mean what's so hard about it? He died on a cross. That man was crucified.
Yes,
there's a lot of responsibility to represent that.
Absolutely.
And you think a 10-year-old son understands what that would mean?
Well, we teach religion in school, don't we? Ah, yes, got you on that one too, didn't I? You see, sir, if we are going to teach children religion, we need to let them live that religion. And that is what we do in our home.
But he's not
and
Jesus
And to say
Christ.
On the one hand that a child is taught religion, on the other hand he can't possibly understand what it was that Jesus went through, I think is a little hypocritical.
Well, then the same
My
son saying that he should be
different.
Persecuted.
My son is different.
And you think he should be persecuted?
He's not going to be persecuted.
You just said he needs to live it.
All right, what is the caller's problem with... these are terrible calls tonight. And your call, Margaret, leads it off, because nobody is saying what they mean.
I told you what I mean.
Well, I want to find out from the caller and from what you guys are talking about here. Sir, in Bakersfield?
Yeah.
What is your main objection?
He thinks it's sacrilegious.
Yes, but you have said you don't know what that means, okay?
Well,
and you don't like the idea of a kid dressed as Jesus. Why? Because you care about the kid being what? Ridiculed, or because it's sacrilegious to you? You see, this is an interesting... I tell you this, it's fascinating, because nobody really knows how they feel about this. They just are... They're really emotional.
I know how I feel. I know how Jason J. Delmonico...
And would you knock it off with Jason J. Delmonico?
Yeah.
The kid's name is Jason.
And
yeah. Delmonico.
And, you know, well, there's lots of ways to make your kid feel special besides making him...
All right, but what is your main objection? What is your objection? I don't know what you're talking about. First of all, you're saying you care about the kid. You think it's sacrilegious. What's the main objection that you have to
this? There's several issues.
No, there's going to be one issue here. What is the main objection that you have? What's your main objection? It bothers you. Is that it?
If I have to pick one, I don't think that Jesus, that the 10-year-old boy should have the pressure of being having to go out on...
All right, so it's the pressure of a 10-year-old boy. Okay, great. 1-800-449-8686.
You're very rude tonight, Phil.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm being rude, okay? This is you opened up the can of worms by saying that you didn't want your son to be a hobo. You want your kid to be Jesus Christ because you want him to feel special.
Yes, exactly.
And I told you that a lot of people would find this sacrilegious. Now, what's happening here is there are people calling in who say, well, it's sacrilegious, but they don't really know what that means. They don't want the kid to feel pressure, but you're coming back and saying that the kid wants to do this, okay? So let me jump in with my opinion.
I am the boy's mother.
I'm jumping in with my opinion now.
But I know what's best for Jason J. Delmonico.
Yeah, Jason J. Delmonico. Let me just say that, first of all, I think you think he's the son of God, personally.
That is ridiculous.
Okay, well, the way you talk about it, it sounds like you think he's the son of God. Secondly, I think there probably isn't anything wrong with dressing somebody up as Jesus Christ on Halloween. I don't think there's anything sacrilegious about it, and I don't think God is going to frown on it. However, I will say this. People like you do it because you want to piss people off.
That is a lie.
No, you want to make them angry, you want to get a rise out of them, and you want to get noticed, don't you?
My son wants to do this.
I understand that Jason J. Delmonico wants to do this because he's an actor, but the fact of the matter remains, you are doing it so that you can hold your son up there and say, look at all this very controversial thing that he's doing here. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the kid having a good time or making him feel special.
That is an absolute lie, Phil. You've completely misread it. Jason J. Delmonico wants to do this because Mommy told him that it was a good thing to do, and he agreed.
Mommy told him to do this, and he agreed. Even though Daddy said, let's just put the kid into a freaking hobo costume, send him out on the street, and leave him alone. And that is right at the very crux of this. There's nothing sacrilegious about dressing a kid as Jesus, but anybody that would do it is obviously trying to just piss people off. Because it is emotional. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with anything having to do with anything else. Okay? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry here, 1-800-449-8686 with Margaret Gray, who's rabble-rousing here.
The Margaret Journal.
On the Phil Henry Show. I just find it really interesting.
You know, Phil, what I find interesting is that you take a mother's love and you twist it to mean it's rabble-rousing.
Well, I do, okay? Dress your kid up as Jesus Christ, send him out there and create a big stink, and come on my show and do it on purpose.
I'm a mother who loves his son, and you are not a parent, and you don't understand. To make a child feel special, sometimes you have to take chances.
I'm not a parent. I'm a step-parent, though, and I see what my wife goes through every Halloween. Here's Temecula on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I have just one comment. You know, I just flew in from Florida, and I'm driving back to Temecula, and I had a question. I've been listening. I hear a lot of this religious bantering going about of whether or not the righteousness of her son dressing up as Jesus Christ. I see the whole thing as a simple form of just promoting her son. This whole thing is nothing but a marketing ploy. I mean, let's face it. I hear all this stuff. We can't afford a costume. The kid's in movies. You've got money. I don't want to hear you can't get a Superman costume.
I don't know what you're saying. Jason J. Delmonico, who, yes, he has, and you find that amusing, but he has been in film, has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with what we're talking about.
We're talking
about a boy dressing up as Jesus Christ. Yes, he can pull it off. He's a good actor.
There's no question whether or not he can pull it off. You said yourself, anybody could. All they have to do is dress up and they walk around. But my question is, the simple fact that you can't even call him by just Jason, that you've got to be like a jingle where we've got to repeat the product 55 times a minute,
Wait. What you're saying then is that the call, this, my guest here, is promoting another movie.
That is absolute trash, and I really resent that. Come on, what?
Then stop calling him Jason Alexander,
his
whatever.
His name is Jason J. Delmonico.
Isn't
that funny? You know something? It's amazing when you try something different how people will beat you down.
Who's trying something different? Is it you? Is it your son? Was it your idea?
It was mommy's idea.
It was mommy's idea to dress.
Is the agent going to be there?
I'm really offended by that.
No, that's a good question. Is his agent going to go door to door with him? Jason J. Delmonico now as Jesus Christ.
You're going to bring him to Compton?
And why do you think that I would manipulate my son that way?
Because exactly, I've been in the entertainment business 20 years, and I've known lots of absolute power-hungry mothers, just like yourself.
Wait a minute, are you calling me a stage mother?
Absolutely.
How dare you?
How dare I? I just did. You can't even call him Jason. You got to keep saying his name because he's earned this. He's earned you. Absolutely a stage mother. You know you are.
Jason J. Delmonico is his stage name, yes. And I use the name Jason J. Delmonico because I want him to feel special. He's had a tough year.
He went to summer school. He got braces. He's going through what kids go through.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, what is...
You know, unless you understand what Jason J. Delmonico, what his potential is, if you're in the entertainment business, you'd understand this.
I am in the entertainment,
you would understand. Jason J. Delmonico has...
If I got to hear that guy's last name one more time, his name's Gray.
His name is Jason J. Delmonico. Have some respect.
For what? He's 10 years old. Why do I own him? He hasn't earned any respect from anybody.
Excuse me. He just auditioned for John Hughes' next film.
Oh, big deal. What do you want me to give you a resume? You're going to name drop, lady? Come on now. Have some respect for your audience.
So why don't you have...
This whole town is filled with actors.
There's all kinds of actors. There's all
Give
kinds of kid stars.
They're not all Jason J. Delmonico.
Right, because some of them have Academy Awards.
A couple of them have done some blockbusters, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, a couple of them have made some big-time jingle, and a lot of them have been messed up by all of that experience. Why don't you let the kid be a kid, okay?
Phil, this time in history only comes once. This time in a young boy's life only comes once. It will never come again. The opportunity for Jason J. Delmonico to play Jesus Christ on...
to play Jesus Christ on Halloween.
I didn't say that, Phil.
No, you did. You said to play Jesus Christ on Halloween. So here we go. It's the next big performance starring Jason J. Delmonico as Jesus Christ with a bag of candy in his hand and a cross on his back.
Well, make sure you do a press release.
And that is blasphemy.
Why is that blasphemy? You're the one that's got him with a cross on his back.
That is blasphemy, the way you put it that way.
Well, make sure you do a nice press release. I'd hate all this airtime to go to waste.
Thank
you.
That is ridiculous.
But you know why you're mad?
That is ridiculous.
You think it's ridiculous because it's the absolute truth,
and
you know
it. Jason J. Delmonico is my son.
I don't even know who he is.
You don't know who he is?
No. What's he been in that I would know? Half of L.A. has no idea what he is.
Excuse me, but Jason J. Delmonico has been in at least two films, feature length.
Which ones?
He was in Forever and The Star.
Where were they?
I'm sorry?
Where did they play?
I'm sorry?
They play on the East Coast.
They played all across America.
Forever and The Star.
Yes.
Okay.
Starring who? Who was in it?
Dick Byrne.
Who?
Richard Byrne.
Who?
Richard Byrne.
Richard Flaidman.
Yes.
Who is Richard Flaidman?
You know something? It's really sad that you would do this to a young boy.
Lady, I didn't do anything. All right, sir. I appreciate your phone.
Lady, I've seen a lot.
All right, your digital's busting up there on me, brother. Universal on the Phil Henry Show, Universal City. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
First of all, I agree totally with the last caller.
That this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
I'm equally offended
said,
by that.
I believe. Everything he said.
I'm offended.
And the second of all, if you want to portray your son as Jesus Christ on Halloween, why can you not just be a Jesus Christ that did a lot of good things for people rather than the torture Jesus Christ on a cross?
What are you saying?
I think I know what she's saying. Aren't you saying that you have him be the guy that was like riding on a mule or something, not the guy that got flogged and beaten?
Right, exactly. He healed all these people. He did all these wonderful things. I personally don't believe in Jesus. I'm Jewish, and I have no problem with him portraying Jesus Christ on Halloween, but why can he not just be the Jesus that did all these wonderful things rather than the tortured Jesus with blood coming out of his hands and a cross on his back?
I think that for Jason J. Delmonico, it's a meatier part.
And the reason you keep saying his name in full length is only because you're promoting him for something?
No,
again,
no,
I don't
no.
know anything that he's been in either, and I think it's more than half of L.A. that doesn't know what he's been in either.
You said you're Jewish?
Yes.
You're not Hispanic?
No, I'm not.
All right.
Why would you say that?
I thought there was an accent. I would say that it's a meatier part for him.
What do you mean, meatier part? The kid's going door to door. He's getting candy.
And you also said that you wouldn't let him dress up as a Disney character because it wasn't real, but you would let him be Superman, who was also not real.
But Superman was a man.
He wasn't real.
Superman was a man. He wasn't a chipmunk, and he wasn't a dog.
Superman
and he wasn't
is a character. Just like Mickey Mouse.
I'd have to see your sources on that.
Superman is not real.
What are your sources?
Ms. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, her husband, are presidents and vice president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, a group of homeowners in the West Valley, who held an emergency meeting of their homeowners association last night, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And thank you for joining us, Ms. Dooley.
Thank you for having us.
What was this in response to?
We received word last night that the U.S. Census Bureau has concluded that by the year 2050, approximately half of the U.S. population will be minority or people of color, and the other half white. The news was caused, Phil, for a meeting for a twofold reason. The modern suburban community is a gated community. It is a gated community because people want more security in light of the world we live in sometimes. And people who do have a higher standard of living live in gated communities and will overreact perhaps to some news. For some reason, a great many European Americans or white Americans find this news, or will find this news, we're sure, a little jarring. And we wanted to give people a heads up in the Census Bureau findings and explain to them that it isn't a cause for alarm. And there are things they can do now, if they act now, so that they don't overreact.
Why does the news that half the U.S. population by 2050 will be minority, why would that news alarm, you're saying, mostly European Americans?
I don't know if it shouldn't. My husband and I guess you could say we're a little bit more with it in terms of racial acceptance. Steve and I get along with the people of color and Mexicans and whatever, and it doesn't bother us. But a lot of these homeowners live here, and a lot of white Americans are going to panic. In case there is confusion, all we're saying is our HOA is a resource for people to access if they're frightened, if they're confused, if they need to reach out and just talk to someone. Because in times like these, you need reassurance. So we have a 24-hour hotline that people can call and just wait for no other reason, just calm their fears.
Well, you say you're going to have a meeting to address people's questions and fears. What do you think they fear by this U.S. population being 50% minority or people of color?
Well, first thing we want to do, Phil, is say that when you say white people will only be 50% of the population, we're saying white people will still be 50%. It's very
yeah, but what are they fearing?
I don't know. A lot of these whites that we live with, as I said, Steve and I are very egalitarian. We have Mark and Beth Cook, our black couple, that we know from our kids' school, and we laugh and dance, and it's great. What I'm trying to do is not really answer the question, why are these whites afraid, but how can we reach out to them and they to us? How can they resource us? What can we do to address the immediate fears that they're going to have? And it's very probable that a majority ownership interest in American companies, et cetera, will still be white people. So
is that it? Are they afraid of the loss of political power?
I really don't know. As I said, Steve and I are very comfortable with colored people. We laugh and dance with a lot of them.
So you're going to reassure people that whites will still have the economic and political power, though the minority population is going to be greater.
That's number one, yeah, and that's important to people. If it isn't, I guess they won't care. That seems to be a concern. The other thing we're going to do, educate them as to what it means in most societies when people of color outnumber white people. I'll give you an example, Phil. In Mexico, the mesquite Indian Mexican far outnumbers the Spanish Mexican of European descent, and yet the Spanish Mexican of European descent has the political power. And the same is true, for instance, in Liberia, where the descendants of American slaves, the more cream-colored ones, rule politically over the natives. So if people are concerned...
Well, that's a little racist, though, isn't it? To say, don't worry, the whites are...
So again, I have no problem. I'm just trying to immediately address the panic that might come of this.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley, we'll be hearing from Steve as well. He's the Vice President of the Homeowners Association. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number to talk about this U.S. Census report, which is no really big shocking news, that 50% of the U.S. population will be minority in the year 2050. This according to a story by Gennaro Armas in the Associated Press. This Homeowners Association has held an emergency meeting to talk to the white people, and you're saying reassuring them. So you're having this meeting to calm them down and to put it into perspective, more or less.
Yeah, and then the next thing we have to do is to prepare for it.
What do you do to prepare as if it's some kind of a hurricane?
Again, Phil, I don't know what these people, what their problem is, but...
Are you white?
Yes. Yeah, my husband and I are both... I am originally of Italian descent, and my husband is German-Irish.
Okay, so what do you do to prepare white people for a time when minorities will be almost outnumbering them?
Well, what you do when you're in line for... You know, it's practical things. We try to role-play. What do you do when you're in line for a movie and you're the only white person in line?
So what is the advice?
You know what you do? You just say, it's fine. I'm the only white person, and it's fine. I'm the only white person in line, and I'm all right with that. If you're bothered, tell them, Steve, what you said.
Pull out a dollar bill. I was saying to pull out a dollar bill.
Pull out a dollar bill.
You pull out a dollar bill and what?
And you look at the face on that dollar bill, and you're looking right back into the face of the first president of our country. His face is on money. He's a white man. If that's the thing...
Can I ask you, what do you think about people who have a panic about the fact that in 50 years there's going to be more blacks or Mexicans or minorities? And my understanding of this story, it's really going to be the increase in population will really be among Hispanics and Asians. What do you think of people who worry about that, white people?
You know, Phil, it's a good question. I don't really judge. You know, I don't judge. Steve and I are egalitarian. Mark and Beth Cook are... a black couple that we know. We laugh, we dance and sing, and we don't have a problem. So I try not to judge. What I do try to do is say, hey, you know what, I'm white and I can get through this through prayer just, you know, keeping our heads about us, as Rudyard Kipling said.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I'm going to get to a phone call here. Maya, go ahead. You're on a Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, Maya.
Hi, Phil. I'd like to address the caller.
Go right ahead.
I think even though she might not realize it, that she's being totally racist.
Mm-hmm.
And this fear of, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm right here.
Yeah, okay. You don't have to... It's distracting.
Mm-hmm.
About
I'm sorry, what am I doing?
The fear, whatever fear is happening, is ridiculous, and implying that the
it really is.
Yeah, it absolutely is,
and we're very. But a lot of the white people want to prepare for it.
Prepare for what? Is it an invading army, a cancer?
No.
That's how you're implying it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, my race, I'm an African American. We were a minority in this country,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
we've dealt with it. So are these people,
yeah.
they can only be in power.
Yeah.
They don't know how to
yeah.
exist any other way.
Well, you know what? I don't really know. I mean, Steve and I have a very dear friend, Mark and Beth Cook, who are black. And we dance and sing and have great fun with them. So, but you have to understand that when something like this happens, the first thing people want to do is have someone they can talk to. What do I do? How do I prepare?
I don't understand. What do they need to be prepared for?
Maybe that's what we need to. What do they need to be prepared for?
Well, it's a little jarring. I'll give you an example. We do some role playing. Ordinarily, when you walk into a bank to speak to a loan officer, you're generally going to be speaking to a white woman in her mid-40s about your home loan. If the day comes when you walk into a bank and you're addressing, you know, a dark and very swarthy Mesquite Indian in a suit, you know, that can literally suck the oxygen right out of your blood. And
so basically what you're saying is you have to get them out of their institutionalized racist feelings. Because that's
I'm
what
not,
it is.
I'm not familiar with that.
What no, you're saying
it means
you need to
people,
prepare the,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm,
white
yeah.
people of this nation.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And look,
but
I really...
No, what you're talking about is institutionalized racism. And this fear is... It's ridiculous.
Well, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What is a man supposed to do? We role play.
Well, when you say you role play, what do you do? I mean, you're talking about your...
Well, what we do is, in classes of a lot of the homeowners, my husband, and we have some fun, Steve, he's got one of those stick-on mustaches, and he pretends he's the bank officer. And, hi, I'm here for a home loan. Oh, yes, ma'am, sit down. I'm like, oh, my God, you're a Mexican. And we just go through that, and we work through it, you know? And
What's the work through? If you're talking money with a guy who knows money, and you're talking home loans, and you're talking, what's to work through?
It's jarring for a lot of these whites. I know. I think it's funny too. You know, but I can't really get into the heads of people who will panic about this statistic. Because Steve and I just roll with all that information. All I can do is help guide them to keep a level head. Don't worry. And again, remember, in most societies, even the white minority economically holds power.
Well, you know,
so
power structures have changed throughout the history of the world, and for you to say that, I can't even believe that you're saying that and telling people this in your class. What you're doing is perpetuating the racist feelings by saying that.
Well, how am I doing that? I don't get it.
You're saying, don't worry about it. White people are always going to be in control.
Yeah,
that's
the key phrase, saying, well, even in societies where the minority outrules the white minority, the whites still have the, you used Mexico as an example.
Well, when you've got whites that are ready to go crazy, and are ready to swarm all over you and just go crazy on you.
What?
You know, you're black.
Yes,
so
I am.
You know what it's like to be the only person at the party who looks
strange. Yeah, but I don't
strange.
Feel that
you
know? I'm,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not afraid
mm-hmm.
that white
mm-hmm.
people are in control. That's
mm-hmm.
a condition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at one point,
mm-hmm.
Egyptians ruled the world. You know,
well,
at one point, the Mongolians ruled the world. At
well,
this
I'm not
particular
familiar
point
with that.
In history,
mm-hmm.
you know, Caucasians are
well,
out.
The Mongolians, there were more of them, but the whites were still president and that kind of thing. So,
well, that's not what you're saying.
I don't know about that.
When
but
the Mongolians
ruled,
the lighter-skinned Mongolians did, and that's...
Well, that, okay, look at Maya, thank you for your call, 1-800-449-86... Whoops. I said whoops because I turned my microphone off.
That might be a good idea, Phil. Steve was just...
I'm just kidding, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that's nice. 1-800-449-8686. The U.S. Census Bureau says by the year 2050, 49.9% of the population will be mostly minorities, Asians, Hispanics, and black people. The Western States Homeowners Association, a predominantly white organization, has had emergency meetings to begin to prepare for this. Is this something that people, white people, need to prepare for? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Survivor Compton. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us. Western Estates Homeowners Association. How are homeowners, how are people across the country dealing with the news today from the U.S. Census Bureau that a majority of Americans in the year 2050 will be minority? They will be Asian. I guess they won't be minorities anymore.
You know, Steve was saying that. He said, how can you call them minorities when they're going to be the majority? And that's something that I think isn't fair. I think you need to call them the majority if they're going to be the majority. You know, and no one's talking about that. And that is so very important to how we go. And
all right, I want to get to a call, but you mentioned something about the children.
Well, the children are the ones that are going to have to deal with this the most. They're the ones we can really help because they're the ones who are going to have to, it's going to be very jarring to them and very frightening to suddenly one day show up at school. And I'm not saying that anyone's going to hurt them, but to sit down in class and everyone is a little darker, a little not perhaps, and I'm saying perhaps, not as smart as them. And
all right, now right there sounds like a racist comment.
No, I said perhaps. I didn't say...
Well, you're leaning in that direction. 1-800-449-8686. Estella, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Where mm-hmm. do you get off?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Where do you get
mm-hmm.
off saying that white
mm-hmm.
people and children
mm-hmm.
should be concerned
mm-hmm.
about the classrooms? And why would they
yeah.
be scared?
Yeah,
why
no.
would they be scared unless there's people like you
yeah.
putting
mm-hmm.
thoughts in their head
mm-hmm.
to be scared of people like that?
Well, you know, I'm not racist at all. Steve and I have.
Yes, you are. You are so racist. And you don't even
oh my
know
God.
It. Which is the worst.
You know,
that's the worst part of it.
When you called me a racist just now, I felt as if I was going to black out because no one has ever called me that.
You are.
I love.
You are racist.
Black.
And you're a bigot. And you are
oh my
trying
God.
To make it.
You know.
Ms. Dooley,
what we're trying to say is the comment you just made, there's going to be some black kids around you, and they may not be as smart.
Well, and they might
that's
be as smart.
Too. Why wouldn't they be as smart? And what does that have to do
mm-hmm.
with anything?
Well, first,
you know,
look,
they're just like there's mentally disabled people in this world. You're not going to treat them different.
Okay,
you're going to love them and treat them the same
right,
and include them in the same
are,
holidays
well,
and everything else that you do.
What's that, Mr. Dooley?
I think Estella just hit the point. She said that blacks, like mentally retarded people, need to be treated equally.
That's what we're saying. We're not saying to hate. If
you
see a black person...
You're not saying to treat them equally. You're
you
saying
just said.
That white children... Little white children are going to be scared of walking into a classroom with dark people? Where do you get off? What planet did you come from?
I'm agreeing with you when you said blacks, like mentally retarded people, are people too and can be taught to do things. I'm not disagreeing.
You are absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, and you don't want a white person agreeing with you. My boys have been taught...
Wait a minute. The lady probably misspoke, and I don't think her intent was to say mentally retarded people like black people. Her intent was you treat everybody good. You treat everybody...
Absolutely not. I did not mean that mentally retarded people are black people.
Well, that's what you said.
No, that is not what I said.
Well, that wasn't her intent.
You would not treat...
All Steve and I are doing is training them to learn how to take instruction from an Asian or a Hispanic teacher without a normal feeling of wanting to defend yourself. That's all.
You know what? I don't
oh,
understand
man.
Where you started thinking that this
mm-hmm.
place, this planet,
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be for
mm-hmm.
the white people only.
Mm-hmm.
This planet is for every human being that is alive and well and
I
is
thought,
living a life and is,
yeah.
is working for their families
yeah.
and is buying homes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. That's
you know,
ridiculous.
I totally agree with that. I saw a documentary the other day on TV that talked about how we're all, you know, brothers and sisters. And I really liked it.
We really agreed with it. But all we're trying to say is that a lot of the white people are going to be afraid.
I don't like that comment you made, Bobby.
Well, what else is new? Nobody's liked anything I've said tonight, and I've tried to send a message of hope.
Well, hold on for a minute.
Well, you know what? Everybody gets frightened. I can go into a white neighborhood and
Edgar.
Be it's absolutely ridiculous for you to think that you are going. White people are going to be frightened because there's going to be more blacks.
Well,
than Mexicans.
I think there's nothing wrong with reminding white people that it's all right if there are blacks around them. You know, just around.
It's
them.
All right if there's blacks around.
Around them.
Okay, look it.
Okay,
the
so
point
that's what we're saying.
When you said
Estella,
that
I gotta hold on. Hold on, hon. I got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. With the U.S. Census saying more minorities in the year 2050 than whites, do whites, as in Bobby Dooley's opinion, do they need to be prepared? 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with Bobby and Steve Dooley on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association join us talking about the U.S. Census Bureau's report on the American population being 49 to 50% minority, and that by the year 2050, and that means Asians, Hispanics, blacks.
And I wanted to jump in, Phil, if I could. Steve also wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead.
They're not being a minority, they're a majority. I think he's going
to
stop it.
I think what Steve is saying...
Well, all right. You don't have to call him minority. You can call him the majority if you want. But, I mean, they were traditionally the minority. Now, you are talking some things here. You're saying that white people need to be prepared. You've got a 24-hour hotline?
Yes.
For whites to call in and what?
We get a lot of panicked whites. We get a lot of people saying, you know, what am I going to do? You know, I mentioned, you go into a bank to get a loan and sitting behind the desk... is an Indian or one of these, and what do you do? I'm not saying the Indian isn't good at numbers, but I'm saying you're not traditionally used to sitting down and saying, you know, how much for points with an individual that at one time might have been abducting children to raise them in a native way. And so
I fail to hear the point you're making here. And
well, Mr. Hendry, one of the...
And the idea that...
We give you the role playing on it.
We wanted to play the song. If you can... You can hear this, right?
Yeah, it's Mexican mariachi music.
This is music that I think is wonderfully ethnic. It is delightful. And it's very possibly going to be some music that we have to get used to listening to. And in order to feel comfortable with it, okay, can you see Vital Dawn's early life?
Okay, are you saying we're...
Why is it so funny?
I don't understand why you're laughing. Because...
Ms. Dooley, I believe that you're worrying about something you don't need to worry about.
And I think, Mr. Hendry, as the president of a homeowners association for the last 15 years, where we have completely refurbished the gate and the security shack, we have put in an entirely new third phase pool with a cabana, two barbecue areas, where I have personally been responsible for upgrading even the townhomes with granite counters. You asked me to turn all of that over to a new generation of these, of the minorities. And I think I have a right to ask, really? And who's picking up the garbage bill? That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Summer, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley.
Hi, thank you for taking my phone call.
Yes,
I just
ma'am.
Wanted to state a few things
mm-hmm.
real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all,
mm-hmm.
you're the U.S. Census
mm-hmm.
is stating that this is
mm-hmm.
going to be in about 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is not
mm-hmm.
going to be overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So over
mm-hmm.
a gradual period of time,
mm-hmm.
more and more, quote-unquote, minorities
mm-hmm.
will be
mm-hmm.
entering into America. Our children
mm-hmm.
are not going to wake up one morning and
mm-hmm.
find eight more minorities than there were yesterday. This is something that will be over a gradual process. Second, I would also like to state that the U.S. Census has also done statistics, and those statistics do state that on average that blacks and Mexicans have an IQ lower of anywhere from 10 up to 40 points lower than the average Anglo-Saxon. Okay? I would also like to state to you that by... This is another statistic. Before you get on a talk show,
so you agree with me? You agree with me then that when those black kids
sit down, our white kids should be able to say,
even though he's black and he might be dumber, I should treat him equally.
All people should be treated equal, but this is not about my opinion. This is about facts and statistics, and that's what I'm talking about this evening.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Another fact is that if you take a group of
excuse
people
me for 1 minute, Summer. Summer, excuse me for 1 minute. Would you please turn that music off? Would you please turn that off?
I don't understand.
Turn the music off, please. Go right ahead, ma'am.
Okay. I also just wanted to state that if you take a group of
people... Can I ask you just a quick question? Do you work in a party store? Do you work in a party store?
I'm in the medical field, ma'am.
Oh, because it sounded like you'd been around some helium or something.
Really
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, if you take a group of people and you train them for something specific, and in your case, to help them to not be racist, which if you look in the dictionary, just quickly to all your listeners, if you look in the dictionary under racist, it means a race. We're all racist. I personally, I'm Anglo-Saxon.
Well,
You're
I don't
Italian.
Know. I don't
okay?
know what that means.
You don't know what a lot of things mean, and I'm going to school you here real quick. You're putting blinders on children.
All right, let me jump in here, because, Ms. Dooley, I saw something in brochures printed for the Western Estates community. You are targeting the year 2045, which you and your husband claim is 5 years before the minorities take over. Western Estates is refurbishing their townhomes with mud ovens and simulated adobe wall coverings. Isn't that correct?
You know, Mr. Hendry, I think it's very unfair.
Isn't it right that you're putting mud ovens in?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, my God. What? You have Mexicans and everything. I don't understand.
Are you telling me you're putting mud ovens in your townhomes to get ready for the Mexicans to move in?
You know, the disapproval that I have gotten since I've been on your program from you and women like this one... who thinks she knows everything.
I'm not telling you what I... I'm not giving you opinion. I'm giving
you really do.
Statistics. Here's the one opinion I will give you, though.
Don't you think it's right to put a mud oven in a home?
I think that if somebody wants a mud oven in their home, they'll put a mud oven in their home, and it makes you more of a prejudging to a particular race for you to put a mud oven in a home with a pre-idealized thought that this person is going to want a mud oven because they're of the Mexican ethnic group, regardless of the fact that they're in the United States of America.
You know, you think you know so much. Do you know how to make a corn tortilla? No, I don't think you do. So before you leap, look. Oh, she's laughing now.
Well, what has that got to do with it, making a corn tortilla?
You know what, Summer, I want to say one more thing. The casting call for the Munchkins was last week. I'm sorry. Have your agent call us.
Jesus.
All right, that's a personal attack on the lady. And
it's okay.
My wife.
All right, Summer, thank you. You made some very educated points. I appreciate those very much. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, the way you've been sucking on everybody's right rear cheek.
All right, now we're going to have to deal with the FCC on that.
What?
What you just said. Here is Ernesto on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, boy.
Ernesto, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, sir, fine.
I just want to make a quick comment to this young lady. I mean, you are the most racist person I've ever met, even heard on national radio.
Other than to try
and I don't even think. I don't even think you even know it. And your friends, the cooks, need to have a serious sit-down talk with you. I mean,
who are they?
Because I tell you what.
The black couple you laugh and dance and sing with?
Oh, yes. They are a lovely couple, and their children are in school with ours.
Well, I tell you what. They need to have a serious sit-down and talk with you. Because in order, I mean, if you are a true friend to these guys, to these people, I mean, I don't think you guys have to role play in order to to be friends with them. I mean,
yeah.
in order to dinner or go dancing.
Yeah, I could ask you, as a reasonable man, are you Hispanic?
Yes, I am, and
All
I'm
right.
married to a beautiful Asian.
Okay.
And I have two beautiful kids.
Do you find anything offensive about a mud oven?
Do I see anything offensive about it?
With a mud oven, yeah.
If I ordered the mud oven myself, no.
No, these come standard in all of the townhomes that we anticipate will be the primary targets of purchase by Hispanic Californians.
Well, I mean, if
in other words, Ernesto, what she's saying is they put these mud ovens in homes where they think Hispanics are going to move in because that's how you guys cook. That's what she's saying.
You know, you put it very hatefully, Mr. Andrew. You really put it very hatefully.
That is so ridiculous.
You know,
I mean, this is the modern age. I mean, even in Mexico, we don't have. Even in Mexico, they are
mm-hmm.
using gas ovens now.
I wasn't familiar with that.
I mean,
okay.
they're not
well, that's
all
good
using.
To know. That's good to know because.
What do you mean that's good to know? There's something else too. Your son was arrested 3 nights ago driving a Dodge Durango that was not street legal. It was 3 inches off of the pavement, and he gave the arresting officer the reason: "I'm getting ready for the Mexicans." What's that mean?
You try to make everything racist, Mr. Henry.
Oh, come on, Ms. Dooley. You advised your son to lower his Durango down so it wasn't street legal. He's got on chain rims. He's got the chain driving wheel, the steering wheel, I should say. That's a lot of that is car club stuff. Some of it's gangbanger stuff. Is that how you relate to all Mexican people?
This is how I relate to the wonderful, wonderful Mexican people.
Wow. How? That's all
like
I hear, though.
Right there. See,
that's
laughing.
I mean that right there tells me you are the most racist person on this earth. I cannot believe that you're doing this stuff.
My children to be accepted in the new United States of America makes me racist. That I want my children.
Ms. Dooley, you don't have any idea. Just because a kid lowers his Durango doesn't mean that he's now officially Hispanic. And just because you put mud ovens in a townhome doesn't mean Native American families are going to want to move in. And just because some guy sits behind a desk who's a loan officer and he happens to look like a mesquite Indian vegetable picker doesn't mean you're going to become more of a egalitarian human being. This is what this man's saying and officer's saying. Just be a human being, okay?
Oh, yeah, right. Just be you, huh? Yeah, sure.
No, just be a human being, not be him. Be yourself, but come on now. Don't be racist, as much racist as
listen
you are.
Listen to this. Listen. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Okay, I'm hanging up on
so
her.
Racist.
She's a freaking racist, and the whole idea of this is whites are nervous because minorities are going to be some 50% of the country. I appreciate your phone call, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Say, can you see? But
no, you know what the joke is. You know what the joke is.
Are you back?
Yes.
You hung up on me.
No, you hung up on me.
All right, what's the joke?
Jose, can you see? Steve heard that one at the shop. Is that right, Steve?
Jose, can you see?
Isn't that funny? I haven't heard that one in weeks.
I don't understand. Huh?
There's Bobby getting all the white folks prepared for the invasion of Native American families that are going to want to have that mud oven option. Yeah, what are some of the options you are? Well, you look brown enough. We've got the mud oven. The mud oven, and we have, don't forget, the deerskin sweat lodge in the backyard, too, is a really nice feature. All right, 1-800-449, now selling at...
Jesus, you really spit it out. Can't cut your tongue?
Now selling at Western Estates. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Fair and balanced without the porn.
This story ordinarily wouldn't really gather too much of my attention, but it's about a body getting delivered to the wrong funeral. And it is in Santa Ana. It's a traumatic thing. But midway through a funeral mass for a young wife and mother who was struck down by leukemia, they found out that they had delivered the wrong body to the mass. The call came from the Santa Ana Church. The funeral home was terribly sorry, but they sent the wrong body. When word filtered out to a grieving husband, he flipped up the drape covering the casket and realized that it was indeed not the coffin he had ordered. In the midst of the service, workers for McDougal Family Mortuary came to the church, wheeling the correct body down the aisle and wheeling out the body of the stranger. In a lawsuit filed this week in Orange County, Sandoval is demanding unspecified damages for emotional distress. He wonders, he says, as he fights back tears, whether the saying of a mass when his wife's body was not there changes what will happen to her in the hereafter. Now, I'm not a Christian, but I've got all the respect in the world for a person's religion, especially one as ancient as Christianity. And this guy, obviously a devout Christian, a devout Catholic, is worried now because when you perform these ceremonies over the body of the deceased, obviously you're hoping to effect something, hoping to effect a Godspeed to heaven, right? And this father, this husband, Ricardo Sandoval, says that he is worried that his wife's body not being there when the mass was taking place, it might affect what happens to her in the hereafter. With my beliefs, when you do the last blessings, the body's supposed to be there for the whole ceremony, not half of it, said Sandoval of Santa Ana. When the first casket arrived, the priest blessed it. What if the first blessing is the only one that counts? It's going to be an unanswered question for the rest of my life. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the various ceremonies, with the various liturgies that surround these religions, but I got respect for them. And I do believe that there is a physical and metaphysical connection. And I think that if you're going to perform these ceremonies with the belief that it has some effect on the spirit or the soul of the individual, oh, then by God, you got to have it the way you want to have it, right? So this poor guy, and you know, the funeral home apologized. So it's not like there's a lot of rancor. There's not an insensitivity going on here. It's a horrible mistake. But at least in the mind of this man, the mistake is such that his wife, you know, it's going to affect what happens. And I don't know if there is an answer. I don't know if there's anybody in the audience who has an answer to this sort of thing. In all seriousness, but it would be interesting to find out. I don't know if we have any Catholics, people who are familiar with the Catholic Mass. Now, see, I was raised Catholic. As a matter of fact, I was an altar boy. I wasn't a very good one, but I do seem to recall serving at a funeral, a high mass funeral, and I had an incense holder, and it was a disaster. I almost set fire to the guy's coffin, if you want the honest truth, because I had a big sterling silver incense holder with a lot of frankincense and myrrh pouring out of this thing, just the smoke. And I went to genuflect, and the incense burner hit the floor with a clang, and the sparks flew up, and they had sort of a draping over the casket, as much the same that was described by this gentleman, and the damn sparks hit the, geez, we almost had a fire. You know? I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, holy Jesus, Phil, what did you... Set fire to the church, everything. So there's something to be said. Like, you know, I ain't talking religion here. I'm just saying in the context of somebody's beliefs, if the guy says that, you know, you got to be there with the six blessings and five bags six bags full and five bags of whatever the thing is, you got to have it, okay? Am I right or wrong? I don't know. 1-800-520-1KFI, 213-310-8185-201-KFI. We'll start off in Los Angeles on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hello, Miss Henry. I think that the Catholic Church, there's a belief there that your body won't go to heaven unless you've got a proper burial.
Won't go to heaven.
That's right. And we had the same problem. My nephew was gunned down 2 years ago in a gang warfare.
I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Well, thank you, but he was a young boy, and we lost him prematurely to the violence on the streets. And in any event, Unfortunately, we had the same problem with a funeral home crossed up.
Is this something that happens all the time? Funeral homes get the bodies mixed up?
Well, it's in our case, it did happen. They delivered his body to a Roman Catholic church, and we are Methodists. We belong to the AMA church in South Central, but his body was taken to the Roman Catholic church. And it's our belief that unless he received the proper Methodist funeral, that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And there are a certain way that...
So you don't think that your nephew went to heaven?
Well, we were able to discover the problem, but you have to understand that the Roman Catholic Church has a great many different kinds of celebrations and sacraments which we don't believe in. They have a communion wafer which they give to people, and that's like eating the dead body of the person that they're putting in the ground.
The communion wafer, the Roman Catholic Mass during a funeral, is the people are eating the communion wafer to celebrate the body of Jesus, right?
No, not at a funeral. When the people take communion at a Roman Catholic funeral, it's to take a bite out of the person that they're burying. And so you're eating the flesh, literally, of the person that's going in the ground. And we don't believe that, and we don't practice that. And so, because my son's body was taken to a Roman Catholic funeral home and was then at a Roman Catholic Mass, my son could very well my nephew could not have gone to heaven, which dispensed us gently.
Well, it sounds like it's something that still bothers you.
Yes, it does very much. Because in our view, that's cannibalism, what goes on in the Catholic Mass. We don't believe that, and I didn't want my nephew's body to be.
I'm very, very sorry, ma'am.
I didn't want my nephew exposed to cannibalism like that.
So you view that because they give out communion wafers in a Catholic Mass, it's cannibalism?
I think that it is an insult to God that they would take a wafer and they would give it to people and say, "You're eating the body of me."
I recognize that this was a very tragic and traumatic thing.
They were going to eat my baby, my nephew, just eat my nephew.
Not literally eat your nephew, ma'am. I mean, it's a sacrament that goes back thousands of years in the Catholic Mass. When they give out the communion wafer...
But then they can't see the flesh of the dead. They're going to eat my nephew.
Well, if they were going to eat your nephew, it was only symbolic. That's all. They're not really going to eat your nephew.
Well, it brings back some bad memories, and I don't know to this day whether he's going on to the Lord or not.
Well, you really think that because he had a Catholic funeral instead of a Methodist funeral, that maybe he went to hell or something?
I don't know what happened to him, but he should have had a proper burial. And then, to make matters worse, they wanted to bury him with a bunch of Jews. They brought him over to a Jewish funeral.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with... I mean, so they almost buried him in a Jewish cemetery?
Yes, they did. My baby, he never had a chance. My nephew could have been a Christian. He might have been a Jewish. He went to the bowels of the Roman Catholic Church.
All right. I got to tell you something. I mean, I didn't mean to say what I said. I mean, if you really believe that, I think you really need to kind of back off a little bit, because I don't think just because you're a Methodist and your son was buried in a Roman Catholic funeral doesn't mean that he's going to go to hell, okay? I think that it...
Well, that's not what we believe. Yeah, they have a Methodist burial. And then they're going to eat my nephew.
They didn't eat your nephew. That's the communion is not eating. If you could hold on for just a minute, ma'am.
All right.
1-800-520-1KFI, 213-310-8, 1-800-520-1KFI. Can somebody explain how that works? If you have the wrong funeral, you're not going to rot in hell so this lady won't flip, and that they weren't eating his nephew, her nephew? 1-800-520-1KFI, 213-310-818-5201-KFI. It's Phil Henry Show.
Those Christian bastards ate my nephew.
They didn't eat your nephew. Let's just take a break here. This is kind of interesting. A guy, it's sad, too. There's a guy who is filing a lawsuit. The wrong body showed up at his wife's funeral, to be perfectly blunt about it. And but they got his wife's body to the funeral in time, but this man is a devout Catholic and feels that because his wife wasn't there for the initial blessing at the funeral, his wife's body was not there, that she might not, you know, go to heaven. I got a lady on the line here. You're not a Roman Catholic, ma'am?
No, we're Methodist. We're the AME Church in South Central.
And your nephew, the same thing happened to your nephew. His body, however, was delivered to a Roman Catholic funeral. You believe in what, a Methodist funeral?
Well, no, we believe in a Christian funeral. In a Christian funeral and not the Roman Catholic funeral, which we believe is a papist organization beholden to a dictator in Rome, and we don't believe that. And also their Holy Communion when they eat my
I know it's very emotional for you, but they're not eating your son. You understand? It's the Roman Catholic Communion is the body and blood of Christ.
No. They said they passed around crackers in my nephew. Crackers.
They passed crackers around?
That's what they did.
All right, let's go to Mobile on the 91 on KFI AM 640. Hello?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm very sorry about your son or your nephew, ma'am.
Is your nephew, ma'am?
It was my nephew, yes.
Okay. I think what you have to understand is we can't get into a theological discussion about it, but that your son will go to heaven or hell depending on the life.
He was my nephew.
Excuse me. Your nephew will go to heaven or hell depending on the life he led here on earth. It has nothing to do with the farewell.
And are you Methodist?
No, I'm Catholic.
Well, the Catholics believe that you won't go to heaven unless you have a Catholic funeral.
You know, I really find that hard to believe. I know a lot of good Methodist people, and I'm not calling you saying that this is a falsehood.
Why do you Catholics eat the body? Why did you turn my nephew into a saltine cracker? They ate him up.
Well, you know, I think you have to look at this as loving and forgiving God, and I think that it really depends on the kind of life your son led and not the farewell.
That's what I'm eating, the body of my son.
I'm sorry, then you're
you need to turn your radio down, ma'am.
Okay. Elizabeth, turn my radio
down. Which is what we told her to do. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Anyway, I think what you have to do if your nephew, I think your nephew, if he led a good life here, you just got to remember this to do with the life he led, not on what happened at the very end of his life, even when he wasn't alive anymore to make any decisions about it.
Burning in hell today with all of those Catholics, and they put him in a Jewish cemetery.
So they put him in a Jewish cemetery, so what?
Yeah, you know what? When you start to make judgments about the kind of people your son is being buried with, you got to wonder what kind of life your nephew.
Can't mix no black folks and Jews together. They don't ever do that.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, that never worked before. It ain't going to work after life either, I'll tell you that.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
He's got a Yamaha on his casket.
It's not a Yamaha. It's called a Yarmulke.
Well, what's the woman laughing at? She thinks I'm a choke?
No, it's not that. What I'm laughing at, what I think is very sad, is that this kind of discussion with people who...
Let me ask the lady a question on the car phone. This gentleman here in Santa Ana is going to sue because he believes that his wife's body not being there for the first blessing at the Roman Catholic funeral might affect her in her afterlife.
That's right. That's what'll happen.
Like I said, what do you think? That the life he led here on earth?
Are you Catholic?
I am Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. I'm a spiritual person. I believe in a loving and forgiving God, and I don't think that God is going to say,
that woman is down in hell, and she's burning away in hell because the funeral home screwed up and sent her in the wrong place.
You know what? We'll have to wait till the end to find that out, but I seriously doubt it.
So you're a Catholic, so you're the kind of people that take a bite out of my nephew?
Oh, well, you know what?
We're telling you, it ain't that. It's not.
the man said, take it back. You said you was a Jew a minute ago.
No, she didn't.
Excuse me?
Did you say you were Jewish a minute ago?
No, I'm Roman Catholic.
Why did you say you was a Jew?
But
But, you know, it doesn't matter what I am. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter what your son is.
Are you black or white? Are you black or white?
It doesn't matter, does it? It wouldn't matter to me if you're black or white. It matters the life that your son led here on earth.
Is you Hindu?
Excuse me?
Would it matter if you was a Hindu?
Wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can have a discussion about this. It's the kind of life your nephew led here on earth. It matters.
Do you go to communion?
Do I go to communion?
Yeah.
Yes, I go to communion.
Well, you said it didn't matter.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't really want to take this conversation.
It's getting a little theological, like you said, yeah. I just trying to say to the lady here that you don't have to worry. I don't think your nephew is going to hell because he didn't have a Methodist funeral, all right? And I think that's what the other caller is trying to say, even though her car phone she's gone. And so are you. We're talking about this guy in Santa Ana, this poor gentleman. His wife's body was delivered to the church late during the funeral. He's afraid because her body missed the blessing of the priest initially that it's going to affect her afterlife. The hereafter may sound goofy, may sound extreme, may sound nutty. The guy's suing based upon this. I've got a lady on the line here in Los Angeles who the same thing happened to her nephew. She's a Methodist. His body was delivered to a Roman Catholic funeral, and you fear that his body... Do you fear your nephew is in hell?
I fear that my nephew is not with the Lord, no.
Not with the Lord. In other words, in hell.
I don't know. I fear he's not with the Lord, no. And because they ate part of his body like a limbo.
You fear that Roman Catholic communion is they ate your nephew's body?
Yes, sir.
Even though I told you that that's not what that's about.
That's my understanding that they ate him.
All right, we have on the line in Van Nuys here a Roman Catholic priest on KFI M640. Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, ma'am, first of all, I offer my condolences to you on the loss of your nephew.
Are you a priest?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to let you clarify something for you, okay?
Yes.
So this is just, you've been misinformed about the Catholic Church.
Why do you eat people?
Well, if you just hang on, I will explain to you what our belief is, and then you can draw your own conclusion.
But you eat people?
Let me explain what our teaching is, and you draw your own conclusion.
Let the father explain, okay?
Okay, first of all, we believe that when you receive communion, we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Has nothing to do with the person there.
Oh, my God.
Well, hold on, man.
No, man,
I mean,
I'm just calling to let you know what our belief is.
You eat flesh and blood.
If you want to look at it that way, that's fine.
Oh, my God.
This is our belief, and you draw your own conclusion.
I want to vomit.
Ma'am, you got to let the father explain.
Why would I want to hear him talk about it?
Well, because you've been misinformed. All I'm trying to do is give you the proper information, and do with it what you will.
This is like Hellraiser, like Clive.
Okay, first of all, you're upset because you've been misinformed about what happened to your nephew in our ritual.
You eat the butt, you eat the whole damn thing, though.
Excuse me?
Don't you eat it?
We eat the host, yes.
The host.
But he said he eats the whole body of the man.
That's not what I said.
You said you eat the blood and the flesh.
Of whom?
Of the man.
No, of Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, that is a blasphemy.
Well, if you choose to believe that, all I'm trying to do is inform you about our belief because you've been misinformed.
Do you eat up on the booty, too?
Excuse me?
Do you eat up on the booty, too?
I'm not even going to answer that.
I don't understand. What's that mean?
What is this man talking about eating the Lord Jesus?
Let him finish.
Okay.
Let him just say what he has to say.
From the scriptures, ma'am, where Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, take this and eat it. This is my body.
Oh, God.
And then he took a cup of wine and he said, take and drink. This is my blood. And again he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you.
Oh, my God. This is Good Friday. This is the day that our Lord went to the cross for our sins.
Exactly.
And you're talking about eating up on Jesus. You eating all his...
You know, ma'am, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure this call is authentic.
I'm just
calling
you to
inform you what we believe.
You're grubbing on Jesus, ain't you?
If
what?
You choose to believe it.
You're grubbing all over on Jesus.
If that's what you choose to believe.
And my nephew, what about him?
Okay, ma'am, as again...
Macking on Jesus.
Okay, you said you're worried about your nephew not being in heaven because he did not receive a Methodist burial, right?
Yes, that's correct. A Christian burial.
Okay, now, I understand what you're saying. Okay, but let me explain something to you. Suppose now your nephew's body was never found. Does that mean that he's not in heaven because he did not receive a Christian burial?
Do you cook the body or do you eat it raw?
Suppose your nephew's body had never been found, and he did not receive a Methodist service. Does that mean he's not in heaven?
That's correct, yes.
Well,
you think because his body isn't found?
That is correct, yes.
I don't believe that. I believe Father suffered and died, so that all who believed in him would enter into heaven, regardless of where the body was.
I know he's not in heaven because...
I'm sorry for you.
I can feel him in my presence every night.
I am sorry for you because I believe that if he believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, that he truly is in heaven.
He comes in and he says to me, They ate me, Mama. Have you talked to your minister about this?
Have you talked to your pastor?
Yes, I did.
What was his response to you?
He said to pray to the Lord that the Lord will forgive me for what I've done.
What did you do?
He said there must have been something that I did for them to eat my boy.
I don't believe he would have said that to you because I happen to know a few Methodist ministers and they know better than that. They would never say that.
He told me that them Catholics macked on my boy.
Macked on your boy.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
Them Catholics macked on your boy, huh?
You want to laugh at me?
Phil, can I ask you a question?
Son of a bitch, you laugh at me.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question here, please.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is this car authentic?
Yes, it's authentic.
Okay.
Like some kind of Negro smorgasbord over there.
Well, I'll tell you. Listen.
as far as that other man is concerned.
Yes, sir.
Some kind of a Negro smorgasbord.
Yes, yeah. Sir. The other minister?
Yes. No, the other man who said his wife was brought late to the church.
Right, yeah.
Okay. I think what needs to take into account is what is the intent of the mass. And that's what's important.
Okay.
The intent of the blessing or that works for his wife.
He's like a brother buster.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in the phone
line. Listen, Father, I thank you for taking the time.
Okay.
I really do.
Ma'am, you have a good Easter.
Well, you pay for your sins.
Well, I'll leave that up to God.
That's true. Thanks, okay. Father. All right.
All right.
That was a Roman Catholic priest.
They're macking on my boy like a brother buffet. Oh, you can eat me. Oh.
What was it? What's it called, man?
All you can eat, Negro.
I understand.
Well, thank you very much.
1-800-521-KFI, 213-310-8, 1-800-521-KFI. Here's Ventura on KFI M640. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great.
I think you kind of blew your cover. What's up with this woman? And you're choking.
What?
Are you choked up?
We're just enjoying our lives over here. How are things in Ventura? Well, don't answer that. I know I lived there for a year.
It's not all bad.
Yeah.
It's not all bad.
Yeah, well, if you're working in L.A., it ain't all that bad.
Yeah, I work in L.A., so.
There you go. That's a hell of a commute.
So now, the only thing...
They had a brother, but my nephew should never have been treated like that. You know what I mean? Cooking him up, serving him out. They eat the whole damn thing.
Now, yeah. The only thing chewing on your nephew are maggots. He's 6 feet deep.
Yeah. And see, you can't get so hungry.
If you believe in God, his soul is in heaven. And if you truly believe, no matter what creed you are,
they made a stew of my boy.
No, they didn't.
They made a stew.
Nobody made a stew of your boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a casket.
He's in the ground. He's okay. He doesn't even care. You know, we worry about this stuff. Dead people, what do they know?
Exactly.
They know more than we do.
Exactly. I mean, your son got married. You know? If he was buried in a Jewish cemetery, hey, more power to him. He's with other people.
Thank God this ain't New Orleans. They would have served him up Cajun style.
He would have been blackened.
Now I got a question for authenticity, too. I got to agree with the priest here.
Hold on, because I got something funnier to say.
If you're deep in depression, why are you making jokes?
Well, I'm sorry,
if it hurts you so bad, why are you making jokes?
You know what they did to my nephew?
What did they do to your nephew?
They made him into a Negro pot pie.
Well, I think that when we're talking about, this, you know, ceremony as opposed to...
Swanson's Negro Pot Pie.
Well, I think what you're talking about...
She's making jokes about her own nephew. I mean, she was crying about half an hour ago.
Oh, no, that's not my nephew. He's my son, you son of a bitch, not my nephew.
Now he's your son.
Now he's your son. Which one is
Which one is
Well,
exactly.
He's both, actually.
The point is you can't get too hung up on ceremony. Yes, ceremony is primarily for the living. It is not for the dead.
Exactly.
That's where we get the whole screw, screw loose there.
They made him into a sushi roll at the wake. They made him into a California Negro roll.
That's rough. Oh, well, thank you for calling, sir. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
California Negro roll. God.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Glendora on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you tonight?
Oh, fine.
Great.
Fine. I'm just wondering, is she a
Kentucky Fried Negro?
Pardon me?
All right, I got it.
No, baby.
Yes.
Are you sure it's your nephew or is it one of those grandkids you were taking care of that you pushed out the window?
Yeah, remember that?
Overlooking a park?
No, that was when I was taking care of my grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
I sure did.
You hung them upside down over the bathtub?
You know what they did to my nephew? They dried him out and served black jerky.
What?
Well, now, you see, here's the whole thing, like we were trying to say. Are you a Christian man? I mean, are you into...
Me?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So what do you got to do? Do you feel you got to have a funeral?
God knows what's right. This is a crack up.
But really, this guy in Santa Ana, he's afraid that his wife is like rotting in some limbo state.
Oh, he's got a problem.
Well, let's put it this way: if you desecrate a body, if you do something to a dead person that is just beyond the pale,
uh-huh.
That person is not going to go to hell. It's more what happens to the living people.
So you're saying that it's more on the living than the dead?
Yeah, that's the whole reason for funerals. It's not for the dead people, it's for living people. So we can get drunk and party and go to Irish wakes
right.
And feel better about the fact that somebody croaked.
As Christians, I know we're supposed to celebrate their death.
Right.
I'm just wondering,
she said you're supposed to salivate at their death.
You celebrate their death because they went home to Christ.
Again, yeah.
They went home to God.
Pizza kitchen black boy.
All right, listen, nothing. Thank you very much. Great to talk with you. Got a lady on the line really talking about whether a Roman Catholic funeral that was given for a lady had its desired effect because her body was the wrong body came to the wrong body came to the mass and the husband suing, frankly, because his wife's body missed the blessing. It sounds goofy. It's a true story. I don't know what to tell you about this. And this lady here feels that you have to have a proper Christian burial. Can I tell you a story, ma'am?
Yeah.
Okay, my father died 10 years ago, this October, as a matter of fact, and we had him cremated, okay?
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah, that's right.
Was that a Christian burial you gave your father?
No, we didn't give my dad a Christian burial. As a matter of fact, we gave him a Masonic burial. He was a Mason.
Oh, my God almighty, that's not right.
Well, whether it's right or wrong, that's what happened, okay? So anyway, we had him cremated. And it was about 2 days between the cremation and the actual service, and...
Did you had your father barbecued like that?
No, we didn't have my dad barbecued, okay? They stuck him in. I don't know how they do it. They gave me a box with his ashes in it. It was 2 days before the actual service, so I had to drive around with my old man's ashes in the back of my blazer. And I remember I had a golf date that week, and I went in to get my clubs, and there was my dad in the box. And I just went, how are you doing, Dad? And I... got the clubs. He was right next to a spare tire.
Well, you didn't eat your daddy, did you?
No, I didn't eat him. He was cremated, okay? The point being that sometimes, even in the most depressing of moments, when we are bereaved, you know, and we're sad for the death of a loved one, there are absurd things that happen that you can't plan on, and you just, you know...
Did you spread your papa's ashes over your fruit trees?
Did we spread my dad's ashes over fruit trees? Yeah.
Then if you did, then you ate your father. If you weren't going to eat him, why'd you cook him?
I didn't cook him. We had him cremated, okay?
Well, what the hell is the difference? As a matter of fact, I cremated a steak tonight. And I had...
Anyway, the point is, in life, you're going to have these situations arise, okay? And you can't avoid them. They just happen. So don't flip. Don't wig. Keep it tight. Keep your wig on tight, all right? Here's Bray on KFIM 640. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question. Ma'am, are you aware that it's not the nephew or whoever that's being eaten?
That's what they told me, that they had communion of the flesh and blood.
Right, right. It's not even symbolic of your nephew being eaten or your son being eaten. It's symbolic of the flesh of Jesus.
Oh, and my Jesus God, that himself, is wait, that's blasphemy.
At the Last Supper, Jesus himself.
That's blasphemous to eat Jesus.
At the Last Supper, Jesus himself
how old are you? How old are you?
You want the truth?
Yes.
I'm 14.
This is Good Friday, you bastard, you lion sack.
What?
All right, go ahead.
All right. And
Jesus woke up feeling a little cross today.
Do you want me to read directly from the Bible to tell you?
Jesus woke up feeling a little cross. You know how old that is. Go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
You know, somebody ought to burn you and eat you. What do you think of that?
Just read what you got, man. So they ate him and that was it?
Is it? Well, and he specifically said, in remembrance of him.
Mm, uh-huh.
And is this a serious call, though?
Because I won't take a nip out of your head, cook before, you young kid. You're probably good meat.
Well, so in other words, this guy's saying was what the priest said. It's symbolic of Jesus' body.
It's not even that you were eating your nephew.
Do you believe you eat the body of Jesus, yes or no?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I didn't ever.
So you treat Jesus like a box lunch, don't you? Go ahead, say it. You treat Jesus like a box damn lunch.
No.
You treat Jesus like a box lunch?
Yes, they do.
This isn't cannibalism.
Bull crap. You treat Jesus like he's a blue plate special. You think Jesus is a snack well? like beans and franks, huh?
Kentucky Fried Lord,
you know,
whatever.
Jesus is just like beans and franks and a snack well to you, ain't he?
It's symbolic of what the guy...
To you. And who is this, your nephew, your son, grandson, your...
just call it the McDonald's Court of Jesus.
Look, what the guy said is true. It's in the Bible there. That's what Jesus said, right?
Right, and... I had more to say, but I'm kind of appalled by the stuff you're saying.
I'm going to Jesus King today. I'm going to get me a quarter pound Christ.
Oh.
God.
I'm blasphemous.
So I'll pull up to the window.
You're saying that I'm blasphemous.
So let me get a big Jesus Mac and a side of fried.
And I want to ask you something. I want to ask you something.
Oh, God, it's Good Friday. It's over.
Ma'am?
I want to get a Whopper with Jesus on the side.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm blasphemous. The way of Jesus.
Well, listen, thank you. God bless. KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
Hey, happy New Year's Eve. It is time now for our hashtag, and this is for today, New Year's Eve, and it's hashtag Mary Margaret. That's MeryMargaret, Mary Margaret. Hashtag that over at twitter.com/RealPhilHenry or at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. The hashtag for today is hashtag Mary Margaret. Good luck.